Zero. Box checking means zero. Faith means everything. Believing means everything. Box checking, not so much. True obedience to God doesn't include a lot of box checking. If you'll really read this Bible, doesn't include a lot of box checking. Man figured out how to make the box checking. Man figured out how to manipulate people.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on August 20th, 2025, and is titled One Man. So grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
You see, it was man that told you how to get in one spot at one time for a certain amount of time on a certain day at a certain level, certain opportunities here. And then we're going to tell you what to do when we get here. And everybody follows that pattern. And it became the pattern of Christianity. Do you know what the pattern of Christianity really is, according to the Bible? It's for a man to be born again, transformed from the inside out, and begin to live like Jesus is Lord of your life. And the grace of God rules in your life. The King of Peace rules in your life. The Lord Almighty rules in your life. Not men ruling over you. Not men trying to control you by the revealing of the law, because the law never fixed one man yet in his life. How many of y'all know that there's a law about wearing seatbelts? Can I confess before you today that I am a lawbreaker? A huge amount of the time. The law has a hard time controlling me. I'm just being honest. I'm telling you how men think. You see, if it was by keeping the law that you could actually get to heaven, now the end would justify the means. But that's not true. That's not true. The law is not going to get you into heaven. You know why? Because you just said the law, the sin spread through everybody. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So by one man, you're going to hell because you can't keep the law. You wouldn't even have worried about it until the law came, because you didn't even know what sin was. Same way when I got saved. I didn't get saved until I was 35 years old. Do you know there was a lot of things I thought was right before then? There's a lot of things that might have been wrong and I thought it was right. It was okay with me. So if I had some preacher or my grandma had me by the ear and lead me down the aisle and tell me, get that snuff out of your mouth and get that beer out of your cooler and get them books out from under your bed, and I went home and did all of the above, still didn't change one thing about me. Didn't change one thing about me. I'm trying to please the church. I'm trying to please my grandma. I'm trying to get to heaven because I don't want to go to hell. I mean, try it on a bunch of third graders. Tell them about heaven one day. Tell them about hell one day. All there, just say, you know, hell's hot, dark, and screaming. It's terrible. Heaven, man, the streets of gold, and everybody's happy. And well, I mean, it's just good. I mean, there's Lauren, there's Snickers bars everywhere. Now, who wants to go to heaven? If you'll ask Jesus into your heart, you don't have to go to that bad place. You can go to the good place. And the hands go up. But let's try something else. What if you didn't introduce Jesus? What if you told them same third graders that, hey, if you'll just go home and be nice to your parents, you can go to heaven. Now, how many of you are going to go home and be nice to your parents? And the hands will go up. If they come back next week and you say, How many of y'all did that all week? The hands will all go down. See what I mean? So they're kind of a bait and switch. If you'll follow these rules, the rules didn't fix anything. By one man, sin came into the earth. The law came, so you knew you were sinning. So now, we're just a bunch of sinners. We ain't got much going on. We gonna need another man. Because that guy has really messed up our game. How many generations since then? Any idea? I don't know. I didn't stop and look today. I did a lot. There'd been a lot of moms, dads that turned into grandpas who turned into graves and kept going ever since Adam. By one man, it just kept going. This will make sense here in just a little bit. So he says right here, nevertheless, death reigned. That word reign, that means to rule as a king or a queen, to be predominant or prevalent. Death was ruling in everybody's life. It ruled, and so it says that it reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness and transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who would come. He's talking about Adam being a type of Jesus. Do you get that? Why would he be a type of Jesus? My Bible has a capital H on the M right there. How's that work? Because Adam brought sin and death. He didn't have to. You don't know for sure or not it was the plan. Do you know everything written in that Bible was not necessarily the plan? What's written in that Bible is how it went. But because of man-made religion, of God is in control and he's the master puppeteer and everything happens for a reason and all that Sunday morning monkey business we've listened to forever and ever and handed it down forever and ever and ever. Just because it's written down in the Bible doesn't mean it was absolutely the plan. The original plan was there wasn't going to be any sin. So through one man who came to give life, he came to give life, set up the plan for procreation where one man and one woman would come together and create more people. You see, I think if we'd spend more time talking about the very basics of God's plan, we wouldn't have so many trans-ams running around. A lot of trans-ams out there. But for a man and woman to come together and bring forth life, what did Jesus come to do? To give life. But it was because of disobedience. Disobedience is going against the plan. We should get that. Well, you know, he knew that Eve was going to eat that apple and then talk her old hubby into it and blah, blah, blah. Whether he knew it or not, it doesn't say anything about him promoting it. Jesus didn't tell him to eat the apple. The other guy did. So it was by disobedience. But the blessing came from what? What was Jesus? When he prayed in Gethsemane, Lord, could you take this cup from me? But no, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. As he sweat blood, as he bent down on his knees in preparation for a gruesome crucifixion that would allow you and I to do what? Be born again and receive life. He came to give life. And life to the full, according to John 10. One man. One man. So all the way from Adam till then, till the law was revealed, Adam to Moses. Was there any generations in there? Do you think there's any dads and kids? How'd them kids learn to keep sinning? Huh? I'm not going to talk about it tonight, but I'll tell you, I know exactly how I learned how to drink beer. That's how we did at our house. It was okay. So it was okay. We're all okay. We even went to church more than Christmas and Easter and had a big white Bible that laid out there if the preacher was coming. Wasn't allowed to set your tea glass or your beer bottle on it, but we had one. Wasn't nobody in my house could find John 3:16 with a gun held to her head. We had one. Yeah. I learned everything I needed to know about doing man stuff from the men in my life. I did not learn how to do what I did from children. I didn't have a childhood. I hung around men from the time I was 8 years old till later on. So I learned how to do man things from men. And in a lot of those areas, there was just one man. One man, and it spread through the whole generations from Adam to Moses. It's starting to make you think a little bit now, ain't it? Yeah. So he says right here, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. Now, there's a lot of words in that right there. One act of disobedience brought it to everybody. One act of obedience covered the multitude that came, that rooted in that one act of disobedience. The sins of mankind were now justified. What happens when you're justified? You're no longer condemned. How much condemnation is handed down through our modern day religion in a lot of different circles? How many of y'all grew up in a house where you were pretty sure if you missed church, God was in a bad mood? Huh? It's condemnation. You can't find three accurate scriptures about getting in a pile on a certain time of the day on a Sunday anywhere in that Bible. Oh, there's some things that allude to the first day of the week, but that's close you're going to get. You're not justified by your actions. Hopefully you didn't come here tonight thinking God's going to be in a better mood because you come listen to me tonight. No, he'll be in a better mood if you love him. Hopefully you'll learn something tonight that helps us all with that. But one act of obedience took care of a multitude. That's amazing. And it came through one man. Now, if sin can spread amongst everybody, just like shooting a fire hose, shouldn't grace abound more? in the next chapter, he asked the question, if grace abounds more because of our sin, should we just keep sinning? There's probably somebody that might even preach that away. You know, it's that broad road of grace. But it's not the grace. It's not, grace is not just forgiveness. It's the power of grace. It's the gift of grace. It's, grace is the power of God that comes through knowledge of Jesus Christ and submission to Him as Lord, where you become born again, a child of God who wants to obey your Heavenly Father. You want to please Him. You want to live in a way that you find harmony with God and find harmony with the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God. You want to find harmony in your life and peace in your life. That's the desire that comes from within, because the Bible says that a spirit within us cries out, Abba, Father. We cry out to our Heavenly Father from within us. We're drawn to Him. He said, all those who come, they'll be drawn to Me. Not drawn to a building, not drawn to some event. Go to all of them you want to, but let me tell you something. Be drawn to the Lord. And He says here that by that one man, we become justified. Let me tell you about justified right quick. Justified means you are now okay to be with God. All the mistakes you ever made have now been taken care of. You're justified by one man. By one man, you got okay. You got forgiven. You got your things swept clean. Do you know your list of grievances against God that you and mentally got all wrote down on your big chief notebook, you know? When God forgives you, do you know that word means forgiveness? It's as though it never happened. So even if you wrote it down and somebody told you in Sunday school class that He came by with an eraser and He marked off all your mistakes and all your stuff with an eraser, that is not true. Because if you'll write your name in pencil on a Big Chief tablet and you erase it, you can still see the imprint where your name was written. When it comes to your sin, if you've truly been justified, there is no imprint. It's like that page has never been touched. If you're somebody that's dumb as me, you should get that. Otherwise, the accuser of the brethren will show you the imprint of your mistakes as often as possible so that you can be condemned. The Bible says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I've been justified by the act of one man. One man. I never attained my holiness or my righteousness or anything by what I do. Listen to me. I'm not up here talking so I can make brownie points with God. No, me and Him have to work on that way early in the morning, that brownie point thing. That's a daily thing with me and Him. This is because now I'm old. And for 30 years, I've been trying to figure out the kingdom of God. For 30 years, I've been trying to figure out how you run a horse sale and live your life and how you get in debt, get out of debt, get sick, get well, get happy when you've been grumpy. Get refreshed when you get tired. How you win, how you lose. I've been trying to learn all those things in this life. And because I try real hard, you can ask her, I self-reflect all the time. And I'm trying to change all the time. I would really like to be better than I am. It's just a constant thing. But as I go through the journey, God has allowed me a facility and a place and people that are interested to where I can share some of the stuff I found out along the way and say, hey, it's kind of like a father talking to his kids and hey, kids, listen, there's a way that seems right to man and it leads to death. But there's a way that's right with the Lord. Now, you're going to give you a heads up. You're going to look a little weird amongst all your buddies. But let me tell you, it works. When you get down to those firsts, I'm not going to say I was the first at anything. There was a guy at a horse sale auctioneer a long time ago, and he was the first really successful performance horse auctioneer come out of Louisiana. His name was Ike Hamilton. He started out a rodeo clown, had a short leg. I kind of walk like Ike sometimes. I only did two horse sales with him before he quit and then later died. His first guy I ever knew that ate mayonnaise on his hot dog. And right under him, there was a really cool guy from Alabama. His name was Don Green. And he had learned a lot from Ike. And Don and I shared the podium for 25 years until he had quit and go home. So I wasn't the first at any of this. First guy to have a 31-year-old team roping horse sale consecutive without giving up, getting mad, or hanging yourself. I think I was the first guy to ever preach the gospel in the Clovis sale barn. I was one of the first guys that commanded to sing the national anthem. I remember the first day I went to do that, we didn't have those iPhones, so you couldn't get Lee Greenwood to sing your song. And I was having a lot of difficulty, but I knew I'd been being tormented a little bit about this. You see, having a church service on Sunday morning at Sail Barn, it was hard the first time or two, but I'd been doing it a lot everywhere, so that wasn't so hard. And then when the Lord kind of directed me, he said, hey, you need to pray with everybody at the beginning of Sail. And I just knew down in my knower it was time to sing the national anthem and do all that. It's a long time ago. And that first day I couldn't get the singing to go. So I just stood up and told everybody, said, hey, I mean, that sale barn's full. We're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You could see the minds of some of them men go to scrambling. They had not mumbled them words in a long time. And a look of panic came over the top of them. And I said, oh, come on, y'all. It's a great country we live in. Let's take a little time out for it. Let's say the Pledge of Allegiance. But I'm going to pray first. And I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus. It's a long time ago. There's a lot of things that have happened along the way after I experienced the grace of God. I thought the grace of God was something that needed to spread. I thought it was something that I couldn't afford to keep a secret. You see, just as through one man, sin spread. Through one man, grace came to me. And because somebody went first, I felt obligated to pass that on to whoever's coming next. You see, that one man was the man in the middle. He had one on each side. Do you know you're the man in the middle? There's somebody who went before you. Whether you're talking about the preachers of old, the Samuel Davies, the George Whitfields, the John Wesleys. When you're talking about founders and forefathers in this United States of America, men who gave of themselves for all that we enjoy. In your own life, the man who went before you who actually was a display of the grace of God. And you begin to learn and grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and begin to find yourself in that. Now you're a middleman because there's somebody coming after you. Everywhere there's one man. One man. And he's in the middle.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.